إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His forgiveness and we ask His assistance. ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we seek refuge with Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. Whosoever Allah guides, no one can send astray. And whosoever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I bear witness that none is worthy of worship but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. May Allah send His peace and His blessings, exalt His mention, His companions, that of His companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with the tafsir of Shaykh Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi, tafsir Kareem al-Rahman fi tafsir kalam al-Mannan. And we have, in our last session, which was some time back, we were at verse 165 of Surah Al-Baqarah, which reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب إذ تبرأ الذين اتبعوا من الذين اتبعوا وعليكم السلام إذ تبرأ الذين اتبعوا من الذين اتبعوا ورأوا العذاب وتقطعت بهم الأسباب وقال الذين اتبعوا لو أن لنا كرة فنتبرأ منهم كما تبرؤوا منا كذلك يريهم الله أعمالهم حسرات عليهم وما هم بخارجين من النار.
Others besides Allah as rivals. They love them as they love Allah. But those who believe love Allah more than anything else. If only those who do wrong could see, when they will see the torment, that all power belongs to Allah and that Allah is severe in punishment. When those who are followed disown, declare themselves innocent of those who follow them, and they see the torment, then all their relations will be cut off from them. And those who follow will say, if only we have one more chance to return to the worldly life, we will disown, declare ourselves as innocent from them as they, as they have disowned, declare themselves as innocent from us. Thus Allah will show them their deeds as regrets for them, and they will never get out of the fire.
Barakallahu feek. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى ما أحسن اتصال هذه الآية بالتي قبلها فإنه تعالى لما بين وحدانيته وأدلتها القاطعة وبراهينها الساطعة الموصلة إلى علم اليقين المزيل لكل شك ذكر هنا أن من الناس مع هذا البيان التام من يتخذ من المخلوقين أندادا لله أي نظراء ومثلاء يساويهم في الله بالعبادة والمحبة والتعظيم والطاعة. الشيخ رحمه الله said, how excellent is the connection of this ayah with the one that preceded it. Because Allah had dealt with the things dealing with the rububiyyah, that it is Allah who alternates the night and the day and who controls the heavens and the earth and the one who sends the winds and so on and so forth. He said, so after Allah had explained the uniqueness of Allah and the textual evidences, the strong evidences supporting that, that makes one reach the point of ilm al-yaqeen, which is knowledge of certainty. Yani there's absolutely no doubt. Where there's no doubt therein. Still, after that, there are among the people those who, while knowing this information, if you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth, they will say, God. Who gave you life? God. Who takes away life? God. They will admit to all of these things. But then you turn around and say, but who are you worshipping? Well, then they may present to you a number of other gods which they have made equal to God. And all of them are, what is the main character, what is the main characteristic that all these gods have?
False.
They're all created. Whatever they are from the creation of Allah. And so they admit that Allah is the creator, yet they worship some of the creation alongside with Allah. Be it a statue or idol that is made of wood or any other material that Allah created. Be it a human being like Jesus, peace be upon him, or Mary or any of the saints. Be it an animal like a cow or a monkey in the case of the Hindus. And you know, the list goes on. Whatever it is that they're worshipping, it's a creation of Allah. And so, yet they take them as equals among the creation. And dadan means rivals. Ned is someone who is equal to you. Okay. And so when he's equal to you and you have love for both, they become rivals in terms of they're getting both a share of the love, even though one only is supposed to be getting this love in the ultimate sense. So they make them equal to Allah in their worship, in their love, in their magnification, and in their obedience. ومن كان بهذه الحالة بعد إقامة الحجة وبيان التوحيد علم أنه معاند لله مشاق له أو معرض عن تدبر آياته والتفكر في مخلوقاته فليس له أدنى عذر في ذلك. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, and whoever is in this condition after the proof has been established against him, it becomes clear that this person is stubborn against the command of Allah and that he is in opposition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is turning away from reflecting upon Allah's signs. Ayat could mean signs, proofs, evidences. Walaykum salamur could mean an actual verse of the Quran, right? Both meanings are accepted depending on the context. And it shows that this person, walaykum salam, that this person is totally neglectful of pondering upon the creation of Allah. Just, you know, we have mentioned many times before, as it is mentioned in the same ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, that if one was to pause for a minute of his life and just look around, it will become clear to you that there's an objective of life, that there's a manufacturer to the products that you see around you, that there must be accountability. All these are logical and part of our natural disposition, just the way life is happening, even how a plant grows from the earth, how it is a seed, then it is water is placed, and we said that it's irrigation, right? And then it grows, and then it withers away with the wind. It may break into pieces, broken pieces, as Allah described in Surah Al-Kahf, تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ, and then it goes away. This is a live example of resurrection. So those who deny resurrection, you see resurrection every day. Those who deny being given life after death, you see things coming into life from being dead every day. And so everything around you is an indication that there's a creator, and that you should be reflecting upon the creation in order to recognize and identify this creator. And so you may find your objective of life. But it becomes clear that these people, alaykum salam, don't care about that. And the Shaykh said, and فَلَيْسَ لَهُ أَدْنَى عُذْرٍ فِي ذَلِكَ. They have absolutely no excuse. No excuse to live your whole life until you become 60, 70, then you pass away, without ever taking the time to understand who your God is. بل قد حقت عليه كلمة العذاب وهؤلاء الذين يتخذون الأنداد مع الله لا يسوونهم بالله في الخلق والرزق والتدبير. Rather, so this person, nay, but the word of truth of the punishment has become evident concerning these people. It is inevitable that they will be punished accordingly. And those who are taken besides Allah rivals, the Shaykh said, they are not actually equating them with Allah in terms of creation, sustenance, or arranging the affairs. Meaning, if you were to go to an idol worshipper and you were to ask him, did that idol, did it create anything? They will tell you no, because they know that it didn't create anything. Is it the one that sustains? Some of them may say yes, and some of them may say no, not necessarily. What is the most common answer? These are intercessors with Allah. قَالُوا هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These are our intercessors with Allah. This is the most common form of shirk that the people are upon today, which is believing that these objects of worship, they're not really the ultimate objects of worship, rather they are their intermediaries with Allah. Meaning we get to Allah through them based on this old concept, I'm a filthy, simple person, right? And God is too pure and holy and great, and so I cannot approach God with my sins. I need to go through someone who has a better relationship with God than myself. This is what shirk is. And this is what Allah had negated all over the Quran. This is what constitutes this belief. Because for a number of reasons. Number one, Allah had clearly told you that He doesn't want it to be in this fashion. He did not make this kind of partition where that you cannot go to Him because of your sinful ways. Rather, the revelation beginning from Adam until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's always been the same. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord has proclaimed, call upon me, I shall respond to you. خلاص. You can't go and insist on getting someone else involved when God has told you that He does not want anyone else involved. That's number one. Number two, people seem to compare that to our lives. For example, if you want to go, as one of the du'as put it, you want to go speak to the manager, right? And you're just a regular employee. Usually, I mean, that's the CEO, not the manager. You can't just go walk in on the guy, right, while he's in his office and say, hey, I need to talk to you. You have to go through your manager, who will go through the, you know, whatever, the bigger director. And you go through the chain, right, the chain of people, until your request makes it to that individual because of his high lofty status versus yours. And so some people say, look, this is how it is in the dunya. This is logically how we do it. It should be the same way with God. We say, if you are saying that, then you're automatically resembling Allah to His creation. You're making the relationship with Allah is like the relationship of the creation among the creation, which is shirk. So again, there's no escape. There's no exit. So then Allah told us that there should be no one between us and Him. He sees you, He hears you, He knows about you. Actually, whatever situation you're in, He put you in it. He didn't come, it didn't happen by something independent of Allah's will and decree. So whatever situation you're in has been decreed and preordained by Allah. And He hears you and He sees you. It doesn't make any sense then that you try to find a solution outside, when the solution is within you. By asking and begging Allah for a change, for rectification, for guidance after misguidance, whatever the situation may be, and it will be, that's what will happen, Allah shall respond. But see, the people insist on taking equals and rivals with Allah. وَإِنَّمَا يُسَوُونَهُمْ بِهِ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ فَيَعْبُدُونَهُمْ لِيُقَرِّبُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ وَفِي قَوْلِهِ يَتَّخِذْ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِلَّهِ نِدٌ وَإِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ جَعَلُوا بَعْضَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ أَنْدَادًا لَهُ تَسْمِيَةً مُجَرَّدَةً وَلَفْظًا فَارِغًا مِنَ الْمَعْنَى. The Shaykh said, rather they equate them with Allah in terms of worship. So they worship them seeking to get nearer to Allah. That's what they intend. These are our intercessors with Allah. We want them to intercede for us with Allah. Whether people worship Jesus, for example, under the same misconception that, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, or something along these lines. And so they said, okay, Jesus was saying that He's the way. So you cannot go to God unless you worship Jesus. But we say, no, you are misunderstanding the intent behind this ayah, with this biblical verse. Because if you read the context, it indicates that no one can make it to God unless he believes in His messenger, which is what we all believe. During the time of Noah, He was the truth, the life, and the way. And during Abraham's time, He was the truth, the life, and the way. Everybody was that, because you couldn't have made it to God unless you believed in the messenger of God. It doesn't mean that you worship the messenger who came to inform you about God. That's nonsensical. If the king sends you a messenger to bring you a gift, he gives him a gift to deliver to you. طيب. And so then you want to show you gratefulness and thankfulness accordingly. Who do you do it to? The king or the messenger? Who gave you the gift? The messenger delivered it. You give him a cookie. Give him a Pepsi. Or I boycott the Pepsi. Forget about Pepsi. Give him juice. طيب. But who deserves your letter of thankfulness? Huh? Your ultimate gratitude. The one who gave you the gift. Now yes, we respect the messenger accordingly because he partook in the whole process and so he deserves a particular right. But then you don't turn and you make him the king and you say, oh, the king has come, and you put him on, you know, on your head and you run around. Say, this is the messenger, man. The king is in another country. And if you were to do this, people say, you're foolish. You're a foolish man because you have, you know, extolled this man beyond what he deserves. He's only the messenger. And this is really the situation of the children of Adam with the messengers, especially Jesus, peace be upon him. He comes as a messenger of God, calling the people to worship God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's what Jesus is teaching. And so people say, no, you're God. And they worship him. They worship him. So we say, this is just the same old habit of the people who have deviated from the belief in the oneness and the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, now Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ. He said, there's a very interesting meaning behind this word. يَتَّخِذُ, it is an indication that Allah does not really have a rival. Rather, it is the people who have taken them, the mushrikeen, made among the creation of Allah, what they consider to be equal to Him, and it is simply an empty expression. It's just words. It is not, it has no value. It's merely statements. They call them mid or equal to Allah, but in essence, they're absolutely nothing. And you get this from the word يَتَّخِذ. يَتَّخِذ from يَأْخُذ, to take. So they're taking, they are fabricating. Not that Allah has, rather they are the ones who are instigating this kind of deviance, and so they're making them, these people, equals with Allah. كما قال تعالى وجعلوا لله شركاء قل سموهم أم تنبئونه بما لا يعلم في الأرض أم بظاهر من القول إن هي إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان إن يتبعون إلا الظن. As Allah mentioned in a couple of ayat in His book, and they have made with Allah, they have taken with Allah partners. Allah said, say, name them. Or do you inform Allah concerning that which He does not know upon in the earth? Is that what the situation is? Are you going to teach Allah about other objects of worship alongside with Him? And another ayah, Allah says, it is nothing but names that you have named, you and your forefathers, which Allah had sent down no authority concerning. Verily, they're only following conjecture. They're only following assumption, doubt, nothing certain. فالمخلوق ليس ندا لله لأن الله هو الخالق وغيره مخلوق والرب الرازق ومن عداه مرزوق والله هو الغني وأنتم الفقراء. So the creation is not equal to Allah because Allah is the creator and the creation, and the rest are created. Everything else is created. The Lord Allah is the sustainer, and everyone else is sustained by Allah. Allah is the all rich, the self-sufficient. وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءَ, and you are the poor, poor to Allah. وَهُوَ الْكَامِلُ مِنْ كُلِّ الْوُجُوهِ وَالْعَبِيدُ نَاقِصُونَ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْوُجُوهِ. And Allah is perfect in all respects, and slaves are deficient in all respects. In every angle, from every place, we are full of deficiencies. Whereas Allah Azza wa Jal is all perfect, There's absolutely no deficiency in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what subhanallah means. Meaning, تَنْزِيهُ اللَّهِ عَمَّا لَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ مِنَ النَّقْسِ وَالْعَيْبُ وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ. It is to glorify Allah above any deficiency or imperfection which does not befit His Majesty. And that's what subhanallah means when you do say subhanallah. والله هو النافع الضار والمخلوق ليس له من النفع والضر والأمر شيء. And Allah is the one who benefits or causes harm, whereas the creation has absolutely no authority over benefit or harm in any way, shape or form. فعلم علما يقينا بطلان قول من اتخذ من دون الله آلهة وأندادا سواء كان ملكا أو ملكا أو نبيا أو صالحا أو صنما أو غير ذلك. So the Shaykh said it becomes a point of certainty in knowledge, the falsehood of those who have taken besides Allah other gods or rivals, be it an angel or a prophet or a righteous man or a statue or anything else, it doesn't matter. وَأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْمُسْتَحِقُّ لِلْمَحَبَّ الْكَامِلَةِ وَالذُّلِّ التَّامِ. And it is Allah the one who is deserving, the only one who is deserving of the ultimate love and the ultimate humiliation, that you humiliate himself to His Majesty. فَلِهَذَا مَدَحَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِقَوْلِهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. This is why Allah praised the believers by saying, and those who believe love Allah far more great and abundantly than the rest. أي من أهل الأنداد لأندادهم. Meaning they love Allah more than the people of who have other equals with Allah or rivals with Allah. The believers love Allah more than the mushrikeen love their false gods. That is what is intended. لأنهم أخلصوا محبتهم له وهؤلاء أشركوا به. Because the believers were sincere in their love to Allah, whereas the disbelievers associated others with Allah in that love of theirs. ولأنه محب من يستحق المحبة على الحقيقة الذي محبته هي عين صلاح العبد وسعادته وفوزه. And because the believers have loved the one who truly deserves the ultimate love in reality, the one whose love is the epitome of rectification for the slave, his happiness and his victory, his success. والمشركون أحب من لا يستحق من الحب شيئا ومحبته عين شقاء العبد وفساده وتشتت أمره. Whereas the mushrikeen, the polytheists, they loved the ones who do not deserve any love whatsoever, and the ones whom loving is the epitome of the wretchedness of the slave, his corruption and the dispersal of his affairs. فلهذا توعدهم الله بقوله ولو يرى الذين ظلموا باتخاذ الأنداد والانقياد لغير رب العباد وظلموا الخلق بصدهم عن سبيل الله وسعيهم فيما يضرهم إذ يرون العذاب أي يوم القيامة عيانا بأبصارهم. So this is why Allah mentioned that particular warning. He said, and if those who wrong themselves, the wrongdoers, the oppressors, if they were only to see, meaning those who have taken equals with Allah, and they were submitted to other than the Lord of the worlds, and they oppressed the creation by preventing them from following the path of guidance, if they see that which will harm them, when they see the punishment on the day of judgment, and they will see it with their own eyes, Jahannam will be brought according to the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hellfire will be brought with how many ropes? 70,000 ropes or bridles, like the one that you have for the horse and the animal. And each bridle will be held by 70,000 angels. You follow me? Jahannam will have, it's like ropes to be brought. It will have 70,000 of these ropes, and each rope is being pulled by 70,000 angels. So you can imagine the magnitude of the hellfire, its size and its strength. The angels are strong. For 70,000 angels to pick up one rope in order to pull Jahannam, and there's another 70,000 along with them, minus one. That's a lot. That's a lot of angels involved in bringing Jahannam. And the disbelievers will see that with their own eyes. Nas'alullah ta'ala al-afiyah. Hey. أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب. On that day, they will see that all power belongs to Allah, and that their false gods have absolutely no power or authority or sovereignty over anything, and that Allah is severe in punishment. أي لعلموا علما جازما أن القوة والقدرة لله كلها وأن أندادهم ليس فيها من القوة شيء. فتبين لهم في ذلك اليوم ضعفها وعجزها لا كما اشتبه عليهم في الدنيا. So on that day it will become clear to them the weakness and the deficiency of their gods, these false gods that they were taken. And not as if they had it misunderstood in this life of this world. وظنوا أن لها من الأمر شيئا وأنها تقربهم إليه وتوصلهم إليه فخاب ظنهم. And as they thought in this dunya that it has some authority and that these false gods will get them nearer to Allah, then they will be disappointed on the day of judgment. وَبَطُلَ سَعْيُهُمْ And their striving will be void and nullified. وَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ شِدَّةُ الْعَذَابِ وَلَمْ تَدْفَ عَنْهُمْ أَنْدَادَهُمْ شَيْئًا أَنْدَادَهُمْ شَيْئًا And then the severe punishment will become inevitable for them. And their false gods or the rivals which they took along with Allah will not be able to protect them in any way, shape, or form. وَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْهُمْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنَ النَّفْعِ بَلْ يَحْصُلُ لَهُمْ ضَرَرٌ مِنْهَا مِنْ حَيْثُ ظَنُّوا نَفْعَهَا And they will not be able to remove not even the weight of a grain. It cannot even give them the weight of a grain in benefit. Rather, they will receive harm from the place where they expected benefit. وَتَبَرَّأَ الْمُتَّبَعُونَ مِنَ التَّابِعِينَ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بَيْنَهُمْ الْوُصَلُ التي كانت في الدنيا لأنها كانت لغير الله وعلى غير أمر الله. And then those who were followed will declare their innocence from their followers. Right? So every caller to any other religion than Islam in this particular day, this particular ayah is applicable to that individual. Those who were calling the people to falsehood and calling them to worship others with Allah and rejecting the Messenger of Allah, distorting the scriptures which they have within their hands, and all these crimes that they are committing. On the day of judgment, those who were followed will declare their innocence from their followers, that we got nothing to do with you, man. We didn't force you to come. Huh? We didn't tell you to come. You're the one who chased after us. We only gave you information. Nobody forced you. There was no compulsion. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بَيْنَهُمْ الْوَصَلُ And the points of connection will be broken off between them. That which was in the dunya. The Shaykh said because it was for other than Allah. It was for other than Allah and it was upon a command other than Allah's as well. That's why it will be of no value on the day of judgment. وَمُتَعْلِقَةٌ بِالْبَاطِلِ الَّذِي لَا حَقِيقَةَ لَهُ فَاضْمَحَلَّتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ And it was founded on falsehood which has no truth to it, so their deeds disintegrated. Their deeds vanished. وَتَلَاشَتْ أَحْوَالُهُمْ And it just disappeared around them. وَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا كَاذِبِينَ And it will become clear to them that they used to be liars. They used to be liars. وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ الَّذِي يُؤْمُلُونَ نَفْعَهَا وَحُصُولَ نَتِيجَتِهَا انْقَلَبَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً وَنَدَامًا And that the very deeds which they were seeking to benefit from, it will become means of regret and sorrowfulness for them. وَأَنَّهُمْ خَالِدُونَ فِي النَّارِ لَا يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهَا أَبَدًا فَهَلْ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْخُسْرَانُ خُسْرَانُ And that they shall abide in the hellfire eternally, where they will never leave. Alaykum salam. Is there a loss after that kind of loss? I mean, you imagine someone who will permanently reside in the hellfire. You can't even imagine how agonizing this would be. Forget about the physical punishment. That's a given already. You're in the fire, you're going to be burnt. But we're talking about the mental punishment. That feeling of never going out. Just like someone who's enrolled and he goes to prison and they give him life in prison. This person's situation is unlike one who has been imprisoned with the possibility of being released after some time, or with a defined time that, you know, you'll do 3 years and 6 months and then you can go. These people's attitude will be very much different because of the nature of their residence. One will never leave. He will be more depressed, more sad, nothing to look forward to. Whereas the other one will be counting the days. And he may be excited. Huh? He may even be an alright man, you know, go, I'm working out. You know, many of these go to prison, they turn out to be big muscular men. And they read a lot of books. Many even become Muslims. Actually, it's a very common thing for prisoners to enter into Islam. Because it is a time for thought. You know, you're on your own and you read the religions and you find that no religion is ultimately the true religion of God except Islam. I mean, this is common sense to anyone who looks into it. But the one who knows he's never going to leave, I mean, this, you know, you can imagine what that feeling is like. And so people will be in this particular condition in the hellfire. And they will never leave. But you know, what is the problem? The problem is that they will know that they had earned the hellfire. You see, the scholars say, at the end of some ayat, Allah says, وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. After Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Zumar, وَصِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. He mentioned that, you know, the people of Jannah will be taken to the paradise in groups, and the people of Jahannam will be taken into the hellfire in groups. Then it mentions in the ayat, وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. And it is said, Alhamdulillah. The scholars say, the disbeliever will enter Jahannam while praising Allah for Allah's justice. His heart will be full of praise to Allah, even though he had been sentenced for punishment, but he will know and recognize that this is what he has earned. Not that Allah oppressed them. They'll be full of praise to Allah for the justice that Allah gave him, the ultimate justice. He gave him all chances and opportunities. So no one will enter Jahannam whilst thinking that they were placed in Jahannam oppressively. Very important. Rather, every inhabitant of the hellfire will enter therein while blaming him or herself, not Allah. That is, when you blame other people, it's easy. Huh? I didn't do it, man. He's a criminal. But when you know that you are the criminal, this is even more, you know, you cannot complain anymore. You cannot blame others. So they will enter Jahannam while knowing that they have earned the hellfire with their own deeds. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ اتَّبَعُوا الْبَاطِلِ فَعَمَلُوا الْعَمَلَ الْبَاطِلِ وَرَجُوا غَيْرَ مَرْجُوٍ وَتَعَلَّقُوا بِغَيْرِ مُتَعَلِّقٍ. MashaAllah. Very eloquent. How do you translate that? He said, this is because they followed falsehood. So then they did false deeds. Huh? And they hoped in one whom hope should not be sought in, and they were attached to one who does not deserve to be attached to. فَبَطُلَتِ الْأَعْمَالِ بِبُطْلَانِ مُتَعَلِّقِهَا. So then the deeds were nullified because it was attached to one who was false. You see? It's like you go to the brothers, excuse me. You go to the wrong company, huh? Let's say you get hired at a particular job, and on the first day of work, instead of going to the business that you were hired at, you went to the business that is just before it. By mistake, it's still new. And so you take, you know, your card, you know, your timing card, and you clock in at the wrong business. Pay it for a whole month. And then at the end of the month, you go say, Tayyib, where's my salary? They're going to say, who are you? What's your name? Whatever, my name is Muhammad Jameel. Muhammad Jameel, we never hired you, man. You don't work for this company. Yeah, but I have a scarred punch card here, man. Look, I was coming every day from A-Bug. They said, man, you're not working here. Right? You're supposed to be at this next door business. Now, even though he had been doing some work, because it was being done in an area that is false, then his actual work was of no value. They will not pay him for that because he is not hired according to their records. And so these people were doing these deeds who were attached and based upon false gods. So because the god is false, the deeds went away along with it. You see what I'm saying? I hope so. I hope the example didn't make it more confusing. وَلَمَّا بَطُلَتْ وَقَعَةُ الْحَسْرَةِ فَمَا فَاتَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَمَلِ فِيهَا فَضَرَّتْهُمْ غَايَةُ الضَّرَرِ. And so when these deeds were void, then regret overtook them, and they lost hope, so they were harmed in the ultimate sense. وَهَذَا بِخِلَافِ مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ بِاللَّهِ الْمَلِكِ الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينِ وَأَخْلَصَ الْعَمَلَ لِوَجْهِهِ وَرَجَى نَفْعَهِ فَهَذَا قَدْ وَضَعَ الْحَقَّ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ. This is unlike he who attaches himself to Allah, the Sovereign, the Truth, the one whose Lordship is clear. And he is sincere in his deeds for the sake of Allah. And he seeks the benefit from Allah, not from the creation. This person has placed the truth in its adequate place. He's doing a deed where it's supposed to be, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَانَتْ أَعْمَالُهُ حَقًّا لِتَعْلُقِهَا بِالْحَقِّ. So then his deeds were valid because it was attached and based upon one who is valid, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَفَازَ بِنَتِيجَةِ عَمَلِهِ وَوَجَدَ جَزَاءَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ غَيْرَ مُنْقَطِعٍ غَيْرَ مُنْقَطِعٍ. So then he will attain the benefit of his deeds, and he will find his reward of goodness with his Lord, and it will not be cut off. It will not be terminated. كما قال الله تعالى الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله أضل أعمالهم والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وآمنوا بما نزل على محمد وهو الحق من ربهم كفر عنهم سيئاتهم وأصلح بالهم ذلك بأن الذين كفروا اتبعوا الباطل وأن الذين آمنوا اتبعوا الحق من ربهم كذلك يضرب الله للناس أمثالهم. الله أكبر. Look at these ayat. Allah says in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is because those who have disbelieved and they have prevented the people from the path of Allah, Allah shall make their deeds go to waste. Whereas those who believe and do righteous deeds, وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they believe in that which was sent down upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, and it is only the truth from their Lord. What was sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? Al-Qur'an, وَالسُنَّةِ, the Prophet's way, and the book of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Those, and it's the truth from the Lord, كَفَّرَ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ, Allah will expiate for them the consequences of their sins. وَأَصْلَحَ بَالَهُمْ, and He will rectify their condition. This is because those who disbelieve follow the falsehood, whereas those who believe follow the truth from their Lord, such Allah strikes their examples to the people. The difference between the believers in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the disbelievers in him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then going back in time, during the time of Jesus, peace be upon him, we had the same division. During the time of Jesus, there were true believers in what? In the prophethood of Jesus and the message of Jesus. And these are our brothers in faith, like the disciples of Jesus Christ, who, and the early generation of Christians, who were not called Christians first, that was a name given to them afterwards, number one. Number two, who did not believe in any Trinity, any divinity for Jesus, or none of that stuff. As we mentioned historically, this was introduced into the teachings some 100 years later, particularly in the meeting or the gatherings of Nicaea in the year 325, where the whole concept of Trinity was introduced and it was legalized and became part of the doctrine of the church. It was during that time. Otherwise, the early Christians did not believe that Jesus was God or the Son of God. But when the Trinitarian church was spread, it actually persecuted and killed all of the original believers in Christ, because they did not consider them to be believers, because they rejected Jesus being God or the Son of God. So then, the disciples of Jesus obviously understood that Jesus was the messenger of God, as we Muslims believe. And so they are our brothers in faith. Who were their enemies? The Jews. Those who disbelieved, because even the disciples of Jesus were Jews, because he was a Jew. But among them were those who rejected Jesus. And they said that he was a liar, an imposter, and they tried to crucify him. Right or wrong? These are disbelievers. So during the time of Jesus, we had brothers in faith, and they had their enemies. Going back to Moses, it's the same situation. There were believers in Moses, and those who rejected him. Abraham, David, Solomon, Jonah, Job, and so on and so forth. Every prophet and messenger, people either believed in them, or disbelieved in them. The reason why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in this context here is because he is the final messenger of God, and no one can truly believe as the previous believers believed in their messengers unless they believe in the messenger of God. Because if you reject one, you have rejected all. If your boss has been sending you faxes, and all these faxes are a series, with a common objective. If you were to accept 10 and then reject the 11th, then you have rejected all 11. Because you have voided the first 10 by rejecting one of the faxes. All of them, why would you accept one and reject one? You see what I'm saying? So faith is one entity which cannot be broken down. Either you believe in everything from God, or you disbelieve in everything, even though you claim you believe in some. Because the matter of faith cannot be divided. So no one can say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in angels. They say, you're not a believer. Because if you believe in God, He told you to believe in angels. How are you going to tell God that you don't want to believe in something which He told you to believe in, while you claim that you believe in God? This is contradiction in statements and in belief. So it is inconceivable that someone will do that. So then, believing in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is simply an article of faith. It's a continuation of the belief in the previous prophets and messengers of God, and establishing the worship of Allah alone. And this is the essence of the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. طيب. The Shaykh said, وحينئذ يتمنى التابعون أن يردوا إلى الدنيا فيتبرأوا من متبوعهم بأن يتركوا الشرك بالله ويقبلوا على إخلاص العمل لله. And then the followers will wish after that, those who are followed, what they will do, they will declare their innocence from their followers. Then the followers will wish that they will be returned back to the dunya, so they may declare their innocence from the ones that they followed, as the ones who were followed declared their innocence from them on the Day of Judgment. And they wish they could abandon, they can go back to the dunya and abandon associating partners in worship with Allah, and that they will turn into sincerity in doing sincere deeds for the sake of Allah. وهيهات فات الأمر وليس الوقت وقت إمهال وإنذار. But the Shaykh said, hayhat is like, alas, too bad, too late. The time has expired. It's not the time of opportunity, time of being given a chance. The time has come to an end. وَمَعْ هَذَا فَهُمْ كَذَبَ فَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُ لِمَنُهُ عَنْهُ. Even though they are liars. Because Allah told us another ayah, and if they were to be returned to the dunya, they will go back to associating partners with Allah. Because in this dunya, they had plenty of chances to know the truth. Allah has placed within each one of us the correct belief system. You have been programmed. Listen to me. You have been programmed through fitrah or natural disposition or inclination to believe in everything that you must believe in. This is not something foreign to you. This is something in you by default. This is something in you like a hard drive. Like something that is just from the essence of the PC. Or something even more, a fan. I don't know what part of the PC you cannot afford to take out. Otherwise you don't have a PC anymore. Because the keyboard, that's a hardware. You could change that. A mouse, a monitor. But the PC itself, the CPU, There are parts of it by which if you were to take out, you no longer have a PC. So then, this is ingrained in us, this belief in the oneness of God and accepting His revelation. It is not something foreign. For someone to turn that off, ignore it, neglect it, then someone is in essence going against that natural inclination which he was created upon. So there's absolutely no excuse, alaykum salam. This is why Allah said, if they were to come back to the dunya, they will still disbelieve. Because back here now, when they have the chance, there's nothing preventing them from belief. Guidance has come. And each person is given a chance. Allah gives them signs in their lives, so they will recognize that Allah deserves to be worshipped. And they quote an interesting story, that there was a boy who was worshipping a particular statue, right? And all of a sudden, a dog came and urinated on this idol, on the statue. So this boy was, he was just traumatized. He was upset and he was chasing after the dog, you know, trying to beat the dog. You crazy dog, how could you do this to my God, so on and so forth. And anyways, they say while he was running, it struck him. What am I doing? Am I chasing after a dog who urinated on my God? And if this God can benefit me or harm me, why didn't it stop the dog from urinating on it? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it should have, you know, should have scared him away, maybe put a bucket, huh? All of a sudden, some sort of miracle performed by this idol to prove that it is some sort of God. So then the boy realized that this cannot be God if I'm depending on benefit and harm from this idol, whereas a dog is able to urinate on it and I cannot even protect it, then this must not be my God. So people get these kind of reminders throughout their lives. They come to realize that they are upon a false religion. But then the people are divided into two categories. Those who act upon that and they are sincere seekers of truth. So then they say, okay, I need to find the truth, I need to worship God, I don't want to be following a false religion just because I was born into it. And these are the ones whom Allah guides to Islam. And then they are opposed with the other group, those who don't care. They know, but they like it. Because either of some worldly benefit, because they want to enjoy life without bringing to mind accountability on the Day of Judgment. They prefer to follow their desires rather than the commandments of God. Because of some wickedness there within, they wind up favoring the life of the world over the life of the hereafter. And so accordingly, they wind up worshipping the false gods instead of worshipping Allah, the one who deserves to be worshipped. نعم وإنما هو قول يقولونه أماني يتمنونها حنقا وغيظا على المتبوعين لما تبرأوا منهم والذنب ذنبهم فرأس المتبوعين على الشر إبليس. Rather, and this is only a statement that they will say and hopes which they will have out of anger and upon those who they followed when they had declared the innocence from them, and really the sin is on them. The sin is on them. Now, the head, the one who is in charge of all those who are followed, are who? Iblis. Satan. Satan, may Allah curse him. He will say, وَمَا هَذَا يَقُولُ لِأَتْبَاعِهِ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Ajib. Satan will say, on the Day of Judgment, when the matter has been decided, when everything has khalas, it's been decided, he will say, verily to the people, to the inhabitants of the hellfire, verily Allah has promised you the promise of truth, and I promised you also. But I betrayed you. And I had no authority over you, except that I invited you, but you responded to me. He couldn't force anyone to disbelieve in God. He only made an invitation. If somebody sends you an invitation, huh? Is that means of forcing you? Do you pick up the invitation, you find yourself flying out the window? Say, hey man, what is this man? I didn't want to come to your house, ya akhi. What kind of invitation is this? Say, listen man, once we send the invitation, khalas, you must come. No, actually the sunnah, if somebody invites you to a wedding, that you should go. It's a wajib to go to a wedding if someone invites you to a wedding in Islam, unless there's some evil there, and you don't think you can forbid the evil, then you do not go. Otherwise, it's not an option for you if you've been invited to a wedding. Here, maybe there's a wedding every day. And so every day you'd be eating kapsa. So, you know, watch your weight. Allah musta'an. So the point being, Iblis will say, I only invited you, you responded to me. There's no compulsion in the invitation, it's up to you. And then he will say, so do not blame me, but blame yourselves. That's what Satan will say after all. Yani after, what a wicked person, man. What a lousy, lowly punk, as they say. After all of the things he did in this life, to misguide people, you know, like, then on the day of judgment comes, listen man, I didn't tell you to come with me, I just invited you, don't blame me, blame yourself. You know, what kind of, you know, come on. But that shows you how lowly Satan is. And some people take him as their God. Right? And even us Muslims, any obedience that you have to Satan is a form of accepting him as your commander. And so that's very dangerous. You don't go to disbelief, you don't leave Islam, but you are giving up a right which belongs to Allah, and you're giving it to the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah can destroy if Allah willed at any point in time. Not as some of the, you know, other religions believe, that they are the forces of evil, then God is unable to contain them. None of that stuff. If Allah willed, no Satan will exist, no devil, nothing. Everybody will be done. But this is a manifestation of the test. In order to be tested, there must be good and evil. Otherwise, there's no distinction. For you to pass the exam, you must study. If there was no studying, then you will not be able to identify the good students versus the bad students. So this is just logical. I'm sure everybody here understands that. And so I believe... Alaykum salam. Yeah, so actually that concludes that ayah, which is 167. We will postpone the discussion, verse 168 and so on and so forth, until next week بإذن الله عز وجل. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.